in remembrance of me. Who is Christ? Today we look at Revelation 22, 12 through 13. Here then, the last chapter of the Bible, Jesus picks up on divine language. God and Christ refer to themselves by these same phrases. Even in the Old Testament, we hear this. In verse 12 of chapter 22, Jesus says, "And behold, I am coming quickly. My reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his works." And then in verse 13, we hear Christ say of himself, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." This is echoed two other times in the book of Revelation. It is divine language. We are to remember that Jesus is coming again. If you believe in Christmas and you believe in Easter, you believe in the second coming of Christ. There are more prophecies made of the second coming of Christ than there were of the first coming of Christ, and he fulfilled every prophecy of his first coming, and friend, he will fulfill every prophecy of his second coming. Jesus says, "And behold, I am coming again." He is coming quickly. He is coming quickly. Your translation may have soon. Jesus saying, "I am coming soon." I believe the best translation is quickly. Doesn't mean he's coming in a period of time, like, okay, how long will it take you to get from Atlanta to Brookhaven? Well, call me when you start to arrive soon. I'll let you know when we hit the boulevard. Okay, great. I know you're going to be here in a few minutes. Jesus wasn't saying, "I'm coming soon." What he's saying is, when I come, my coming will be suddenly. The Greek word there gives rise to our English word in medicine, tachy, as in tachycardia. When your body is at rest, your heart is not going to beat soon. No, it's beating quickly. It's beating too quickly for you. If you're laying on a gurney, they say in the medical show, they've got tachycardia. Well, if you're laying down, it shouldn't be beating 150 beats a minute. What Jesus is saying, when I come, you better be ready, because there will be no time to go ahead and get ready when, this is serious. Maybe I should not have mocked the existence of God all my life. Oh, you're going to give me 2 or 3 days to rethink it. Oh, no. When he comes, again, it will happen in the flash, like a lightning flash, or in the twinkling of an eye. Remember, Jesus is coming again, and he's coming quickly. And the Bible says he alone can judge our works. Notice, there's going to be a final judgment for the lost and a final judgment for the saved. The final judgment for the lost is one of condemnation. God has patiently sent out the gospel, sent out witnesses. The heavens declare his glory. Every sunrise speaks of Jesus. Every sunset speaks of Jesus. The heavens declare, God patiently has said, I love you, and Christ has died for your sins. He is Lord. And the lost have rejected. And at that coming will be the final judgment of condemnation. But there'll be a judgment for you and me, my brother and sister. We will stand before what the Greeks would call a bema seat. And Christ alone will be judged. He said, "I have my reward, my recompense for your works." It's not a judgment of your salvation. That all was taken care of when you confess Jesus as Lord sincerely, you repented of your sins, and you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. Jesus made you a promise. God made you a promise. You will be saved. You've been following Christ these years. You've been growing in your faith. It will not be a judgment of salvation. That was determined at the cross and the empty grave, and your faith in Christ and following Him. This will be a judgment of commendation, not condemnation. Everything you've done for Christ will be rewarded. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And He's saying, I'm coming with my rewards in my hands, and everything you did with all the things I gave you, all the knowledge, all the privileges, all the liberties you received in life, what did you do to glorify me with them? You and I will stand before our Lord, and He will reward the works we did for Christ. And then He comes down and He says, remember me. I am the Eternal One. In the Revelation song we sang, we sing holy, holy, holy. In the Hebrew culture, three is a divine number. If you repeat something three times, it's in a relationship to God. It accentuates and magnifies the point of His holiness, His divinity. And here we have three phrases that basically mean the same thing. He's repeating it for emphasis and to touch on His divinity. He's saying, I am Alpha and Omega. You using the English of its day, the universal language, Greek, I am the first letter in the alphabet. I am the last letter in the alphabet. I am the Alpha and Omega. I am not an iota in your life. I am all. I am the beginning and I'm the end. God said this of Himself in Isaiah 41:4. He asked rhetorically, who has performed and done this, calling the generations from the beginning? I am the Lord, the first and with the last, I am He. What He's saying is, I'm eternal, I'm the one, I'm the only one, I'm the beginning and the end. I'm not just a part of history. I am before history, I'll be after history, I am God. And then He says, I'm the first and the last. I'm not your lucky number 13. I'm not just part of your life. I'm your all in all. I love what Spurgeon says. I found this quote. Preach orthodoxy or any form of doxy. If you have left out Christ, there is no manna from heaven, no water from the rock, no refuge from the storm, no healing for the sick, no life for the dead. You have left out the sun out of the day and the moon out of the night. You have left the waters out of the sea and you have left joy out of heaven. Yea, you have robbed all of its all. There is no gospel worth thinking of, much less worth proclaiming in Jehovah's name if Jesus be forgotten. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. We will remember His death, burial, and resurrection today because He is Lord God Almighty, Savior of the world, and He loves you. And He died for you. And He rose again, defeat death eternally, and give you the gift. Not only you, but the sweet, dear people that He loves in Dubai and in China and in the worlds that we have not seen or may not see on this beautiful planet Earth, all the people groups. He died for their sin too. So before we partake, and as our musicians come and take their place, let us examine ourselves. From 1 Corinthians 11, Paul instructs us, for I received from the Lord that which was delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he betrayed, took bread. Then he begins to go through the Lord's Supper, which we will go through. And at the end of that, Paul recalls and challenges us, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Let us come before the Lord as this beautiful song instructs us to examine ourselves and prepare to take the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner.